Aloha! You are listening to Inside the Desert Oasis Room, episode number 228. This podcast is brought to you by Don the Beachcomber. Enjoy classic dining and cocktails in a tropical exotic setting. Now open in beautiful Madeira Beach, Florida. Can't get to Florida? Get a piece of Don the Beachcomber from the comfort of your own home. Visit shop.donbeachcomber.com to see brand new merch like collectible tiki mugs, postcards, magnets, stickers, t-shirts, hats, and more. That's shop.donbeachcomber.com. The legend returns. This podcast is sponsored by Frogtown Brewery, an independent craft brewery and tap room located in Northeast Los Angeles along the LA River. Stop in and enjoy one of their excellent beers from their ever-changing diverse menu. Tell them the Desert Oasis Room sent you and get your first pint on us. Limitations apply. For more information, go to frogtownbrewery.com and follow them on social media at Frogtown Brewery. Today we chat with tiki collector and craftsman Robert Miller. Robert is the builder, owner, and proprietor of the River Kai, a hidden tropical paradise he built himself in the wilds of Riverside. We chat about what it took to build the River Kai, home tiki bar projects, home bartending, and more. As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode as much as we did bringing it to you. If you'd like to follow our adventures, check out our YouTube channel at youtube.com/PolynesianPop, where we chronicle events, bars, travel spots, cocktail tutorials, and more. And if you enjoy this podcast, please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/PolynesianPop, where membership grants you early access to podcasts and videos, front-of-the-line privileges to new merch releases, as well as exclusive content, meetups, and screen credits. Alrighty, let's get into this. Pour yourself a cocktail and join us inside the River Kai. And give it up for my friend, Robert Miller.
Inside the Desert Oasis Room.
You're a brave man wearing white behind the camera.
Well, you know, the thing is, I had to do some laundry before. Like, if you can smell, like I laundered everything this morning. So, like, I'm like freshly laundered, right? And but my colors, I have to do those separately. So,
oh yeah,
yeah. So like those weren't done. So, but everything else is like so. If I smell like Tide, it's because like I just pulled everything out of the dryer.
I thought you were gonna say you smell like Thai food. I'm like, right? Well, you should have brought some. I want some drunken noodles.
I love the Thai food too,
man.
So, all right. Well, we are rolling.
Are we?
Yeah. Thanks for being on the podcast,
dude.
I love it.
It's been years and years and years in the making, but yet
I've been
just
wanting
on the other side of the hill from me.
I've been wanting to not only get here, but I have you at my place. Like, the podcast is secondary, right? It's just that, like, we're neighbors, and everywhere we go for this tiki thing, we're driving to L.A., Orange County, mm-hmm. Palm Springs, wherever the stuff is happening.
Yep.
And you're right here, and so I've apologized to you before for that. I apologize again. Like, I'm sorry it took so long to get over here, and I'm sorry it took so long to get you over to my place, but now we're doing it.
We're doing it,
and
man.
And I've been fortunate enough to be here like three times in the past 2 months.
Yeah. We're making up for it, right?
There's like holiday. There was like, what's it, last week or 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
And then tonight.
All right. It is three, huh?
It's been three. That's like been two months.
The trifecta.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. So, yeah. So thanks for having me. And I guess we're going to start with a cocktail?
Yeah. Might as well get it going because...
Okay.
Warms me up.
I love it. So lots of stuff I want to talk to you about, because I feel like one day there was just Riverside, and then the next day, boom, out of nowhere, there's the River Kai. You almost kind of came out of nowhere. I mean, that's what it feels like to me.
You know what? That's a really great analogy. because it's kind of like, I think there's a lot of people out there that we just don't know of. And I think over the last 4 years or so, like, I enjoy all this.
Yeah.
And I want people that are into this to enjoy what I do.
I'm not calling you a noob or anything, because, like, looking at your collection and stuff, you've obviously been collecting for a very long time. Like, right over your left shoulder, I see nothing but vintage. And you've got stuff there that I don't have, and I've been collecting since the 90s, you know?
Yeah, so, you got me beat. Like, I consider, like, you...
Well, it's not a competition.
Christy White. No, absolutely.
I'm just saying that you're not somebody that looks like a Johnny Come Lately, you know? It looks like you've been doing this for a long time. But at the same time, the River Kai just seems like it just popped up out of nowhere, you know?
So, I bought this house in 2009. When I bought the house in 2009, that opened up the doors.
Yeah.
Because, like, this house, even though it's a much smaller footprint, it reminded me of my grandfather's house. He had a 2-acre ranch-style home with a huge pool area. And when I saw the pool area and everything, I'm like...
Was he out here, Riverside?
He,
is this the grandfather who was bartending at the Mission Inn?
The Mission Inn, yes.
Sweet.
Yes. All right. Yes. So he retired out of March in, like, around 71. And... I think he bartended at the NCO for a little bit, but his first gig outside of retiring from the Air Force was he was bartender at the Mission Inn in downtown Riverside.
Right.
And so I have the one photo of him behind the bar and whatnot, but he had this long ranch-style home on 2 acres for those of us that have been around for a long time in a town called Sunnymead.
Sunnymead, yeah.
Yeah, a.k.a. Merino Valley. So he lived up on the hill, 2 acres, nothing around him, and he had this big pool area.
So wait a second. Merino Valley used to be Sunnymead?
Yeah.
Isn't Sunnymead still out there?
No.
Oh, I thought they were...
No, it got incorporated as a city like in 1980-something.
Okay.
I want to say around 84, maybe 86, somewhere around that time. Back then, you know, he had his vinyl. He was a big Herb Albert, Jackie Gleason. I can't think off the top of my head, but he was a big Frank Dean Rat Pack type style stuff.
Right.
All those Kroners type stuff. And he would have his buddies over and just have cocktails out in the pool area. They were known for throwing luau's. You know, he served in the service, right? So he brought stuff back from Guam.
Right.
Where my mom was born.
Your mom was born in Guam.
Yeah.
So I saw a photo of when she was living in Guam, and I think you posted that, right? About, you know, when my mom was living in Guam or something like that.
Yep.
And I thought, oh, dude, you got island roots.
Kind of. She almost got killed in Guam too.
Oh, you're kidding me?
I'm not kidding. The photo you saw of her with the little straw hat as a baby.
Yeah.
They were posted up at the beach, and they got, you know, they got the coconut trees.
Oh.
Dude, the coconut.
Dude. Yeah. So the first time I went to the Cook Islands, I was, you know, we rented a scooter, and I was sitting on the scooter, and it was hot. You know, it's a tropical island. So I get into the shade. I pull off the side of the road and I get into the shade. Not that there was like a lot of traffic.
Uh-huh.
It was the island of Aitutaki, which only has a population of a little over 1,000 people. So a really small island. And this local came by on a tractor. And he's coming up real slow. And I'm on the side of the road and I'm thinking like, you know, okay, what does this guy want? You know, and he's waving at me. And so I'm waving back, and I'm thinking, like, he's just being neighborly. And he is being neighborly, right? Mm-hmm. The thing about the Cook Islands is there's very different from what we're used to with, say, like, the Hawaiian Islands, right? The Hawaiian Islands, they've lost their patience with tourists, I think. And a lot of it is, like, tourists go home. Yeah, get your photos and go home.
Go home,
right? Rally. Right? But at the Cook Islands, they thank you for visiting their islands and for celebrating their culture, right?
Nice.
So anyway, this guy's waving at me and stuff, and he says... He says, hey, friend. And I said, hi. And he said, you need to move. He's like, you need to move. You're under a palm tree. And I said, Oh, and he goes, yeah, if the coconut falls on you, it could kill you. He's like, so you need to move. And I was like, oh, thank you.
Yeah.
You know? We're like, if you're in Hawaii, they're going to be like, oh, look at this tourist over here, you know? So, no diss to our friends in Hawaii. We love our friends in Hawaii. They're just not,
I'll be there in October.
They're just not the same people as they are in the Cook Islands. That's all I'm saying. And so, yeah. And you would hear the thumps, the doom, like a really loud thump on the ground from a coconut that fell.
Well, one fell. She's not even 1 year old. Fell
right next to her.
Right next to her.
Wow.
Yeah. Not even a wise tail.
That would not have been good.
Yeah. That would. My not grandfather have been good. Always says that. My grandfather had five daughters. My mom was the middle, and my grandfather said that my mom ruined his best game of golf. My grandmother always knew when the day was going to be. She knew it, and he was like, got invited to go golf out there, and he's like, yeah, go. We're not going to have it. It's not going to go. It's not going to happen. Sure enough, he's out there having the time of his life.
Yeah.
And here comes one of those wheelie jeeps, those military wheelie jeeps, just hauling ass over the golf carts, yelling out, Sergeant Burns, Sergeant Burns, your wife's having a baby. He's like, oh, shit. Takes the golf clubs, throwing in the back, and they're just hauling ass to the hospital. And then my mom was born.
Yeah. Well, I'd say that was worth the sacrifice of that game.
I say so.
Yeah, you have a very interesting background because, so let me start with that first, but I want to get into some of the things that I've learned in the past couple of weeks. But let's start with that. Do you think that that's where the island influence came from?
Oh, God, yes. Both sides of the family, though.
Yeah.
Like my dad's dad, I still have visual memories of, like, being, I don't know, maybe 3 years old, so 1977, and him having, like, a dude playing, like, the xylophone on TV.
Yeah.
The Martin Denny Show.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was, like, all the island stuff back then. I mean, you had Elvis and Hawaiian. My grandpa was a big Hawaiian Elvis fan.
Yeah.
There was just so many things back then that was just, like, little seeds that made us what we are, whether it was Gilligan's Island or Hawaii 5-0.
Yeah. It was certainly a different time.
So many different things.
We had a lot of artists back then making Hawaiian records. It seemed like everyone had a Hawaiian record.
Oh, yeah.
From Connie Francis to Annette Funicello to Andy Williams. They all had a Hawaiian album, right? Bing Crosby had a Hawaiian album. And it was a thing, you know? And the Brady Bunch doing, what was it, three episodes in Hawaii? That was the best.
Dude, they were. I pour too much. This drink's always a lot big drink.
That's okay. That's all right. I love it. Yeah, look at that mint, dude. It's so perfect.
So here's the funny part about
the
mint.
Are you growing this?
So when I bought the house,
okay,
this house, the one corner had fresh mint.
Thank you, sir. Should I just use this? Yeah. Can I use this?
Yeah, one of those coasters will work.
Thank you.
I had fresh mint growing in one corner and a lime tree in the other.
Oh, nice.
What are the odds of that?
Dude, that's every tiki person's dream.
Dude.
Mint and lime in the backyard.
And then next door, I have Jamaicans that grow sugar cane.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
I'm start making my own rum.
So wait a second. They're growing sugar cane over there?
Yeah.
And it's thriving? Don't you have to be like in tropical for sugar
cane?
Dude,
my dad took a couple of pieces. He's got that stuff growing in his backyard now.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's rad.
That's awesome. So I've been trying to grow. I planted a lime tree like 10 years ago. And I finally got three limes this past year. Finally.
You grew it how long ago?
I feels like 10 years ago when I planted it.
Because certain fruit trees, like avocados, first 5 years, you're not going to get nothing out of it.
Yeah.
But
citrus.
Do you have consistency with watering?
Yes, it's in a planter with a sprinkler head, but I don't think that the sprinkler head reaches it as well. And I didn't fertilize it. So, like, I asked my gardener about it, and he said, well, he's He said, do you fertilize it? And I thought, isn't that your job?
I'm telling you, there's so many blow and goes, man.
Right, yeah, that's
what everybody complains. That's what it is. My gardener doesn't do this. I'm like, well, he's just a lawn guy. He's going to come in, he's going to trim this, trim that.
Right, right.
And be gone.
Right. So anyway, he says, yeah, you should fertilize it. So I started fertilizing it, and it's actually starting to bear fruit now. But since it's the wintertime, it stopped. Right.
Yeah, right, so now probably, you're gonna get, yeah, right now, pretty soon you're going to start getting blooms.
Okay. So it should start up again, I'm guessing, like in this late spring, early summer.
Right now.
Right now.
Any day you'll start to see it go.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Yep.
So, yeah, so that I had mint growing in a terracotta pot. The pot was about 12 inches diameter.
It was thriving.
It was thriving until it started, because the roots are shallow. Right, they don't go deep. They send out runners.
Yes,
and it started to send runners around this pot, and I think it choked itself out. So I trimmed some of it out of there, and I put it in a planter out front where there is a sprinkler head.
Uh-huh.
And dude, it grew so fast that it scared me, because I thought, oh, if these things like find their way to the grass, they'll choke out my grass.
The good thing is, it's easy. Though that one's pretty easy to keep contained, because yeah, mine's natural, and you'll see it pop up, and I'll pull it, and you'll just get like a root runner, and I just keep pulling it, and it'll stop. But I have to try to keep it contained in that corner.
Right.
But yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah, I kind of freaked out, so I gutted it out of that planter because I didn't want it to take over my grass. But I think I'll plant it again around the pool, because I have. I used to have these bird of paradise out there, and the way that the bird of paradise was growing, it was growing in diameter. It was growing big, taller too, but the diameter is getting bigger and bigger.
The giant bird of paradise?
There were blackbirds.
Yeah.
I yanked it out because I didn't want it to crack the coping of my pool, you know? So I yanked it all out, and I put plumerias there. I put queen palms and plumerias all around there. So maybe what I'll do is I'll put some mint on the ground there, you know? Yeah. So, because there's no ground covering on it. The mint would be nice, but then it looks like, doesn't it look like a bush when it grows out, or?
No, it stays low.
It stays low? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, what you see here, maybe add a little bit more. I'll show you later on.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Yeah.
I love it because it's funny, man.
Dude, it looks good, man.
I'll just walk out, like grab some, smack it, and.
Yeah.
Throw it in.
Yeah, I love the, like, you have the really nice big leaves that have that nice texture on it. Good stuff. All right, cheers.
Cheers. Yeah, that'll.
Here we go.
That'll work. That will work.
Oh yeah, that's delicious. What are we drinking? Is this one of yours?
It's something that I'm kind of playing around with. I don't have an official drink yet.
Okay.
But going back to living in Riverside, one of the things that Riverside's been known for in its heyday was oranges.
Oranges, right.
So it's hard to make your own drink when there's like so many different variations. And it takes is one certain thing to change the whole complexity of the drink and make it something else. I will say, like, I do like a good Chief Lapu Lapu. That mm-hmm. takes 3 ounces of orange juice just in one. Another drink that I really love, and I appreciate the man for sharing that cocktail with me, is Ron Farrell's Drifter's Reef.
That's a great cocktail.
That's a really good cocktail. Yeah. And when you look at the ingredients, it's not too far off from a Chief Lapu Lapu.
Yeah.
Lemon juice.
Okay.
And orange juice. I want to be able to have a drink that none of the fruit or anything is seasonal. That way, at any given time, I can do
it. You can, yeah.
So, I do have something down the lines where it's dominantly orange juice and then pineapple juice and lemon juice. And then, what is it? Some simple syrup, some orgeat, a light rum, a dark rum.
That sounds good.
And I think like a dash of bitters.
Sounds totally like a tiki drink.
And then this guy right here.
A little bit of curacao in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I mean, right now I just said, because we're just talking, I'm just like, screw it.
Yeah, yeah.
I know the proportions of sour, sweet, spirit. You got that balance.
Yeah.
You really can't mess it up.
Yeah. Love it.
But I just, I like just winging it sometimes.
Yeah, so do I. So do I. Yeah. I just, I cheat a little bit. I use certain drink formulas and then I just plug in all the variables.
You know? Oh, man. Like when I throw a party.
This is a good drink.
I will bust out a Excel spreadsheet and it will give, I'll put in the formulas of, you know, what each ingredient is, how many drinks do I want? And then those ounces, you know, they times whatever, you know, let's say,
right,
you know,
just whatever. Scale it up.
And then I'll have it to where it'll tell me how many bottles, or when it comes, like, if it's like a juice and I don't have like the, I'm not going to be able to squeeze certain things just because of volume or whatever. Tells me how many of the cartons I might need or whatever it may be. And it has helped me out tremendously. I mean, you were here for the holiday party in December. And
which was fantastic, by the way.
Yeah.
You had a nice drink station set up. So you had a couple of pre-batched cocktails. And then you had the hot buttered rum. And then you had the your little pebble ice maker running all night.
For tonight, today, the Opal works great.
Yeah.
For something like that, it's there.
It's hard to keep up.
But thank God, one mile away is a Sonic.
Yeah.
Pulling there. Yeah, I'll take six bags of ice.
Yeah. Where's your Sonic around here?
Van Buren and Magnolia.
Oh, okay.
It's right there.
All right.
One time. Only one time they were not able to do it. And I'm like calling people over off Central. I'm like, can you go to the Chick-fil-A for me?
Yeah, because Chick-fil-A, you could get ice there too.
And so, it's like $3.50 for a big bag. Either place.
Yeah, so there's no Sonic near me. I used to drive to the one over by Magnolia and the 15 freeway next to El Super 7. But there's a Chick-fil-A that's close by, so I've still got some in there.
All right, I just need to top it off.
So sometimes I go there. And then another trick is you can go to the meat section of a grocery store because they display their seafood in pebble ice.
Right.
And you can request bags there and just ask them to price it for you. Sometimes they'll do it, sometimes they won't. But
that's interesting. That's a new one for me.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, when you go back there to buy seafood, right, it's all laying on pebble ice.
That's awesome.
A couple sources there for you. But let's talk about the River Kai. So, as I mentioned earlier, it just kind of felt like, boom, here's the River Kai.
So, let's start.
So, you built this room from scratch. So, for the people that are listening, take us through what that was like. Give it a good description so they can kind of picture this in their head. Because I'm sitting in here, and I can't believe that you built this from scratch.
I really appreciate that. So, bought the house in 2009, and that, like I said, it just opened up the opportunity to just do stuff. Before then, I was renting. And I started off with a bar inside the kitchen area.
Right.
And then I at that time was my girlfriend, Shauna, she moved in. Like, my house is 1965, all original. And that kitchen needed love. It wasn't one of the cool ones, man. And,
we're talking about this one.
This house.
Yeah.
And so, she's like, let's get a new kitchen. Let's do it. So we did. So we took the breakfast nook area that was the bar area and made that part of the kitchen. So then I took the bar, and this is a four-bedroom house, and just her and I, and the bar went into one of the rooms and started to create this room.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we had gotten married, and then all of a sudden, before you know it, boom, our son came, and then
needed once the room.
Yeah. So that room was directly across from our room, and I was like, first child's gonna be directly across. So I knew right there and then, once we had the first one, we're gonna have two. So I'm not gonna spent too much time. So I just took everything, put it in the other room, didn't set anything up. It was just there.
Yeah.
And he was born in December, I'm sorry, November of 2016. And then July of 2017, this started. Now, I had for a while, like, get out the iPad or paper and was sketching this mm-hmm. and that. And originally the door wasn't going to be here and so on and so forth. And I was like, how can I maximize the space? Because I don't have the biggest backyard because it's a lot of concrete. There's a pool and all those things. And I don't want to take away from outdoor seating
right,
either.
Right.
And so I looked at like the metal cargo things. I looked at Tough Shed. I'm like, none of this gives that real like tiki hut feel. And my brother-in-law, who's got a background in construction, even though he doesn't do no construction, he's like, we can do this, Robert. And it was my brother-in-law, Aaron, my dad, and me. And we started off with the floor with all the pressure-treated wood.
Right.
And it's off the ground, believe
right,
it or not.
Right.
And so the whole bottom is pressure-treated. Then we put on the base, the floor board, whatever.
Subfloor.
Subfloor, thank you.
Yeah.
And then we framed it up.
Yeah.
So he's building this thing to specs. So the walls were 8 foot tall.
Yeah.
And we're sitting over on the deep end of the pool. And I'm looking at it. I'm like, man, that thing looks gigantic. It right. looks tall. And I'm like, I don't think it looks right. It just doesn't look right. And I go, I think we need to take it down some.
Okay.
So we brought it down, and so the walls, the sides, is 7 feet.
Okay.
So it came down some, and then we did the top and pitched it out. And I'm right. telling you, putting a pitch
yeah.
out the front.
Yeah.
And what is that?
It takes some math, right? Because
I think it's a 4x8 beam. It's 20 feet long.
Okay.
And then, yeah, you're right. It takes some math to get that right.
You got to get the angle.
Mm-hmm.
So it's an A-frame. So for people that, if they could use their imagination, right? So it's like a gabled ceiling on the inside, right? But on the outside, there's an A-frame peak that this gabled ceiling kind of continues into, mm-hmm. right? Into that A-frame peak on the outside, and it's sloped.
Yep.
So it requires a little bit of geometry because of all the angles. When you start framing all this, this frame is not going to be the same dimension as this frame because of that angle.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
slope.
Yep. Yeah. I mean, I can't take credit on getting the right angles and all that. I just said, this is the size I want.
Yeah.
I give it all to my brother-in-law. We got all that up, and the windows, I call them the hurricane shutters.
Right, right.
I wanted to where we could keep it closed up like we are now.
Yeah.
But we live in sunny Southern California.
Yeah.
And I got the pool.
Dude, it's freaking genius.
And just swing them open.
So the walls swing up from a countertop. So like at about waist high, you guys put like a countertop all the way around. Mm-hmm. And then the walls swing up. And then they latch mm-hmm. underneath the eave.
Yep.
And so it opens all up to the outdoor seating area, and then the other side opens up to the pool.
And the other side's hooked up to a pulley system.
Oh, to a pulley.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, a pulley system. Tie it all off.
That's like Ron Farrell's.
Very, very.
Have you been to Ron Farrell's?
Oh yes, I've had the honor to be there a couple
yeah,
times.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he did it with the pulley as well. So yeah, it's very similar. Yeah. So. You did an excellent job. So like I'm going to say this because, and this wasn't planned, obviously, when I first walked in, I always come in here at night and it looks great at night with all the lighting and stuff, but seeing it during the day and seeing that A-frame peak, it's stunning. Like I walked through your back door and I thought, oh my God, this is so beautiful.
It's fun. Thank you.
Yeah. And with the pool and everything.
Yeah.
What a great backyard.
The colors of the outside was my best take on the boathouse of the Adventureland Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
When you go on.
Yeah.
I took up close photos of how they dry brush and everything and put down one coat and then one over it, dry brush it to give it some texture. And then all the trim and whatnot, everything had to be routed.
Right.
Everything's
right.
routed.
Yeah.
everything. And did an awesome job on that. On the inside, yeah.
Yeah, then I love the way you treated the TV. Just like in Trader Sam's, you put the bamboo fence or bamboo screen on it.
I got to add more to it, though. I'm trying to think
of something. I don't think you have to. I like it.
Well, I'm kind of thinking of having something that I could add to behind it. When I know for a fact I just don't want it on at all. Like, it's cool when I have it on and this is downward. Maybe add a little bit of vine. I don't want to overdo it. I like how it's just clean looking.
Yeah.
But, yeah, maybe take this off and then add some bamboo here.
Like bamboo there. And
trim it out. And I just bring it up and hook it to this, this there guy. You go. And it stays up when I want to, you know, watch whatever. Because, again, I know you shouldn't have a TV in a tiki bar. But hey, when you're at this house and you got the backyard and you're just on any given sunny 100-degree weather and you're out in the pool and you want to have the game on or something, let it run.
Yeah, I get it.
But, like, what were we watching the other day?
Hell's Half Acre.
Yeah.
So I went home and I downloaded it. Because I was like, where did you get this? And you said, it's online. Just go find it online.
Yeah.
And there were actually a couple of links leading to it.
Yeah.
People have it loaded in different versions. One has, like, it's funny because there's one, the one that I downloaded, it's in English, but it's subtitled in Spanish.
Oh, I like, is it in like some Chinese, Japanese?
No.
I mean, that would have been
rad.
And then
there was another one. That, and I can't really remember the reason why I downloaded the other one first, and then I ended up finding this other link, and I downloaded that one second, and I kept that one. I deleted the other one because, what a visually stimulating movie for the tiki guy.
And that's an hour and a half right there that you can just put on.
And it was great background.
It's just black and white.
Yeah.
Get some glimpses of the original Donna Beachcomber in Waikiki.
Yeah. It's awesome. I love it.
Doesn't get any better.
I love it. So you did everything right here because you did still, even though that there's that TV there, but when you did this bamboo frame or whatever you want to call it.
Cover? I don't know.
You know, that makes it acceptable, right? So, you know, the rules, we talked about that. No clocks, no TVs, no windows, right? But this is a pool bar, so you got to have these windows, and you can close them like you have here, and it makes it intimate, right? But then in the summertime, you can pop those things open, and you can enjoy the view of the pool from the bar, and then you can play the stuff that you want to play on this TV, which works out really great. Yep. So it's still very authentic, and I use that word purposefully because a lot of people will say, oh, tiki's fake, so there's no such thing as authenticity. Mm. I disagree, because mid-century tiki, if you look at all the bars and restaurants and everybody that was doing their thing back then, there was a commonality that created its own authenticity. Mm-hmm. So mid-century Polynesian pop-style tiki has its own authenticity. Mm-hmm. Like the no TVs, no windows, no clocks rule, right? And so it still feels authentic.
Yeah, I mean, it could make it a little more authentic if I got rid of all the tiki mugs. But even that, like, I didn't want this to be a focus.
Yeah. And
so running the shelf.
I wouldn't get rid of the tiki mugs.
Oh, no, I'm kidding. But it's like when you talk about how were bars back then. I mean, they sure in the heck didn't have all these lamps either. But they had something like this.
Right.
They had maybe a tiki or two. They definitely had puffer fishes and floats and lahala matting. But other than that, and some greenery. It was very simple. Very, very simple.
They were a lot more simple than what we're doing today. Well, the thing is, you know, we live in a different world. So when we build our bars now, we have, 70 years worth of tiki bar history to look at to say, I want to pull from this and I want to pull from that. And we're pulling a lot of effects from Disney, right? We're pulling animatronics. Like this TV is like... obviously, Trader Sam's inspired. So we're pulling from these things that didn't exist back then, right? So in the 30s, 40s, 50s, when Don and Vic were running their tiki bars.
Yeah.
They didn't have animatronics in their bars. You know, that came later.
Yeah.
But now we're pulling from all that stuff, right? These flicker bulbs like that you've got going in here.
Oh, yeah. You know? Flame bulbs, yeah.
Yeah, because I've got that in mind too, right? And the tiki mugs. I mean, obviously that wasn't a thing back then because that was not something they thought to
collect. They're just
collect.
So cool.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, they really, really it's, are.
They really are. They
and
really
I,
are.
I really have a big appreciation of the older ones. And
oh, 100%. You know, the thing is, the difference is that because they were never intended to be collected, they have a different look and feel. And the thing about buying something that was never intended to be collected, when you find that Islander mug at a thrift store, you don't know if that's the last one that will ever be found in the wild, because we don't know how many were made. Yep. They were never intended to be collected. But if you buy a mug that's one of 500 and you flip the mug over and it says number 135 of 500, you know that there's 365 other ones out there.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
So it's just different.
It is.
You know?
It is.
So it is. And, you know, even though they're not as elaborate, they have a pedigree. They have a history. They mm-hmm. have a story, where a lot of the newer mugs are just really made for commerce, you know?
Yeah.
So, and I'm not dissing the newer mugs as much as it sounds like I'm dissing them, because there's a lot of talented artists out there great mugs that are really...
Carol, Scott, Rob.
Yeah, true pieces of art.
I mean, that's Lost Temple, but Paul Brigg, Tiki Tom,
yeah,
he did a fantastic job on that. Pied-eyed, you know,
yeah, yeah.
Molder.
Yeah.
Like Ron Farrell's Tiki.
Yeah, this
that's one of my favorites.
That's great.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. So, yeah, we definitely live in a different world. And this whole thing that we're enjoying, it never existed. Like, you know, when we have these weekenders and we're mixing this stuff with rockabilly and hot rodding and pinups and mm-hmm. burlesque and Disney and art and, I mean, you name it, right? This never existed.
No.
This thing that we're doing.
No.
You know?
I mean, I go back to thinking like I was going back to my grandparents, and they have a set of friends over, and my grandpa would make just some highballs, and he had a big living room, wood panel off, top, bottom, arrow round, and a huge bar. So not only did he bartend, but he had a home bar as well. And they had the AM radio on, or they had the turntable going. It was real simple, you know.
Yeah.
Now we can really get elaborate, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And have a good time. And I love
it. Was 2 weekends ago, you had the laptop open, and we were bringing up whatever we wanted, right, on a laptop.
And that's the beauty of today, where with technology, it's like I own a lot of music. But then it was like, hey, you got this? I'm like, no, but I can pull it up. And boom, there it was.
You got it right now. Yeah.
It was wild from what I can remember.
Yeah. Yeah. It was a fun night. Oh, my God, man. So you're reminding me, I haven't gotten that drunk in a long time.
we have some close friends that said, I don't think I've ever seen Adrian that drunk. I said, you know what? It made me feel good in a way, because we were in good hands.
Yes.
And we all felt comfortable.
Okay,
and that's the thing. We all got really, really comfortable.
Can we give them a shout-out? I want to give them a shout-out.
Do it. Let's do it.
We're talking about the Moffitts, right? So
them and?
Yeah, and
David.
Is it Gambale?
I think, Gambale? You know what? It was funny. I meant to bring it up.
Gamble?
I think it's Gamble.
Gamble?
Because it's Gambale.
Okay. And...
Karen, Atomic Chick.
Of course, Karen, Atomic Chick, and you guys for hosting us.
Yeah.
And opening your home and making food. And,
dude, it was wild.
You know, you and your wife were awesome. Like, the hospitality
was
off the hook.
We smoked some tri-tip.
Yeah.
And then Tiffany and Sean brought over some side stuff.
Yeah.
I pre-batched. That's where I messed up.
I brought popcorn that I got in Vegas.
And we killed it.
That tasted, dude.
The Takis won.
Later that night, I just remember seeing you... eating out of one of the trays of popcorn.
But it was like right here, and I was like, oh man, I was so lit. Because, I mean, I normally don't make these drinks, but with the people that were coming, I'm like, we're going to do it right.
Oh, we did it right.
And I pre-juiced, you know, fresh grapefruit, fresh orange, because I got a couple orange trees. My dad's got a grapefruit tree. So I'm squeezing all this stuff, and I pre-batched Blood of Kapu was the first one.
Okay.
Then we did Navy Grog.
Okay.
Then we did Jet Pilot.
I remember that.
So we did those three drinks. Then, because the night kept going.
We polished off a 20-year bottle of Appleton Estate.
No, it was a Plantation.
Plantation. That's right. Not Appleton.
And then.
Plantation. It was a 20-year.
Yeah. And we're just, I was busting out the big balls.
We were just tasting
ice.
It. And then after a certain while, you're like, fuck it. The bottle's almost gone. Let's just finish it.
We did.
And
we killed the whole bottle.
We cleaned it out. Yeah. Yeah, so shout out to the Moffitts for putting me in an Uber and getting me home safely. So
Seriously. That's
what I wanted to shout out, because the next day, oh my God, I woke up and I didn't know where I was. And I was home. And I looked around and I thought, oh shit, I'm home. And I think I was still drunk a little bit.
And then my wife's like, everybody just stay the night. Everybody just stay the night. And she got beds ready because the kids weren't
so
here.
Nice.
And I came out. Hungovers can be, and she's
nothing
like,
personal.
No one stayed the night.
I just felt comfortable. Yeah,
I
just prefer to sleep in my own bed. That's
absolutely
all.
I hear you.
That's all.
Especially when we got Ubers. See,
yeah.
Technology.
Technology. Yeah, they called me an Uber and shoved me in an Uber, and you know, the next day I came back. I took an Uber back to get my car, and I thought, wow, I haven't been that drunk in a long time, but it was fun, right? So. Technology, right? I had the laptop open and we were just having a good time. We were listening to all kinds of music from 70s to 80s to you name it.
Yeah. I mean, David, I don't know what I was doing, but somehow he went outside and snuck in a particular album.
Well, yeah, let's talk about that. So our friend David was the artist for Licensed to Ill, right?
Yeah,
Licensed
Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, so 1987.
If you guys are familiar with that album cover with the jet plane.
Mm-hmm. Crashing.
And then on the tail, it says, eat me.
Yeah, it's like uses numbers and that. There's a few things in there.
Yeah.
I can't remember the stories.
Few
but he's like,
Easter
yeah,
eggs.
If you look here, there's this. If you look here, there's that. And then it was funny, we started talking about Led Zeppelin. He's like, yeah, the whoever it was that was giving him the ideas and the colors he wanted, he goes, I want you to use the colors from Led Zeppelin number 4, that has Stairway to Heaven, all that. And if you look at the colors of, like, especially as it's wrecking and everything, those colors all just totally match with, like, the cover album of Led Zeppelin. And me and him, you know, I met him through Sean and Tiffany.
Nice guy.
Last year at Oasis, and I hung out with him forever, just talking story. And then later on, after everything was over with, a bunch of us went out and had dinner, and he was there with us. And man, we started off with Beastie Boys, but we just talked about all kinds of music and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, he's a solid guy, lives up in Washington.
Yeah.
I guess he's going to be back down here in May and wants to run it back again. So
yeah,
Caliente.
Yeah, Cheeky Caliente. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so.
Yeah, that was a good time. Thanks for hosting us that night. That was a lot of fun. You know, out here in the Inland Empire, we don't get a lot of love, right? There's a lot of 909 jokes flying around and stuff.
I get it.
Yes and no, I get it.
But you can say the same thing about L.A. There's some great parts of L.A. and there's a lot of bad.
There's like some really shitty parts of L.A.
And the funny part is, like, you take, for example, Riverside, the city, it's a nice hidden gem. Beautiful mid-century homes and everything. And a lot of people don't know that stuff. They just associate it with, like, other cities that are surrounding, I don't want to bring up. But there's a lot of good stuff.
There's a lot of historic stuff out here in Riverside. You've got the Wood Streets neighborhood.
Oh, man.
You know what I mean?
Those homes.
Right? Vintage homes that are... is that one of those...
historic districts?
Yeah.
Some areas are.
Okay.
And some homes through the city of Riverside, they go through certain steps, and their house can become like an historic home.
Right.
Karen.
Yeah.
She probably, oh well.
The Hollywood House of Riverside.
The Hollywood House Riverside. So there's a reason why it's called the Hollywood House, because it was known in Riverside as the Hollywood House. Karen and Fabio didn't bring that name out of their butt.
Yeah.
It is a legit term because there are other styles of homes. And then all of a sudden on this hill is this long, beautiful mid-century modern home.
And it just got shot for Atomic Ranch magazine.
Yeah.
Well, am I not supposed to say that?
Oh, well, it all is right. Now.
It's out there. I'm just trying to get our listeners to understand the scope of the kind of house that they're in.
Oh, it is. I think it's going to be released this summer. I think it's this summer edition for Atomic Ranch.
So there you guys, you get that scoop first. Don't tell Karen I said that.
Atomic Chick on Instagram, and their bar is the Chi Chi Lounge.
Yeah.
Inside
the Hollywood House of Riverside.
So
here's what I'm getting at. So we don't get a lot of love out here in the Inland Empire, but all the home bars that I've been to, including hers, including yours, including Wayne Rogers, which we need to get you down to his place. His place is called Capsized.
Yep.
And then I'm going to throw mine in there.
Yes.
And then her friend, Karen's friend, David, who,
have you seen
his place?
I have not seen his
place
yet.
So I've seen his place.
But you know, I mean, he's got his fingers in a lot of stuff.
I've seen his room.
Part of the Riverside Foundation.
Yeah.
He's part of Club 33, cocktails and whatnot.
Oh, okay. Well, here's what I'm getting at. Every house that I know of, every tiki space that I know of out here is done well. Nothing is half-assed.
No.
Nothing.
There's a backyard.
All of us. I think all of us are. We would proudly represent the tiki scene with our rooms.
Very, very well.
Well, another sneak peek for our audience. And you're invited to this as well. I'm setting up a Patreon event at Wayne's place.
Oh, nice.
So at Capsized, and we're gonna have. I think he's the best carver in the scene right now, Vic Hernandez.
Yeah.
We're going to have him come out and bring logs and stuff. And
do some live carving?
Do a little carving party with food and music and all
Billy
that kind Krez's
known for doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah. So.
Or if you have Oasis, you get Al Evans up there on stage. Mm-hmm. Sitting there.
So we're going to do that soon. We're just waiting for the weather to get a little bit better because it's unpredictable right now. It gets cold sometimes, and even out of nowhere, it could rain. You know.
Well, that's you bring that up, and I just had my 50th in January. Everybody's like, "What are you gonna do? What are you gonna do?" I'm like, "Nothing," because it's January, and I don't want to take the risk. And who wants to be out there in a dress or me in a Hawaiian shirt without putting a coat on, let alone have like fire knife guy and dancers on the other side of the pool? I'm going to throw one in the summer.
Yeah.
Hint, hint.
Yeah. There you go.
But,
so we'll coordinate all that. We'll put that out there. And for our Patreon members, they'll get all the information there. And if you guys are not following our Patreon, check it out, patreon.com/PolynesianPop. I'm always releasing exclusive content there as well. But, I try to give back to them and try to do something regularly. So
yeah, no, you know, you invited me to a couple of things, and
what you
do for these guys,
you're always
in return,
invited, dude.
It's awesome.
You're always invited. You always have an open invitation to the Desert Oasis Room. But what was I going to say about this? You know, Wayne's place is pretty fantastic. He's got two bars in his house. One's a whiskey bar.
That's what I'm talking about.
So one's a tiki bar. One's a whiskey bar. The whiskey bar is called Evil Genius Mixology. And his whiskey bar is about the size of this room.
So a 10 by 12.
It's something like that. It's a separate space. And then he's got his tiki space, which is called Capsized. And man, his place is fun. We get over there and it's just like this. It's just like that night that we were here the last time. We put on the Saturday night safety dance, and we just made cocktails. We took turns. It was funny because we started talking shit to each other, like, oh, you can't make a drink. I'm like, you know, I can make a drink. Of course I can make a drink. Oh, yeah, I've never seen you make a drink. So then we took turns trying to top each other. That's, and of course, all the drinks were great because everybody was bringing their A game.
I would love to have here is I'm always making the drinks. That's why I like the batch.
Yeah.
And
I get it. When you're hosting, it's hard to.
Yeah.
You don't want to get stuck behind the bar.
I am at when I have the luau here for the 50, the Hawaii 5-0. I do have a couple people like, hey, I'd love to bartend. I'm like, yes. I mean, I still can't help it to batch certain cocktails. Yeah. I just love to do that.
Yeah.
But to have some people either pre-batch or make it on the fly or whatever, like, have at it. I love that whole part because it's just like just different people helping out and diving in and just making that experience that much better.
Yeah.
Versus just the one man show.
Yeah.
You know?
Love
so
it.
That's cool that you guys are having fun making different cocktails.
Yeah, you get something from everyone. So, yeah. So, all right. So, we've reached the point of the podcast where I like to ask some fun questions.
All right.
So, are you game for some of these?
Bring it.
All right. So, let's start.
I wear boxer briefs.
How'd you know I was going to ask that? All right. If you could pick anyone to play you in a movie, who would you choose?
Oh, man.
Now, think outside the box. They don't have to sound like you, look like you, or act like you.
So
you could say.
I already got two.
You could say Jennifer Lopez.
No, I already got two.
Okay.
If it has to be with a current actor that is of how they are now, I'll take Brad Pitt.
Okay.
I'll take Brad Pitt. Because that guy, man, I don't care what movie he's in. He always...
He's a stud.
Dude, I mean, whether it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, mm-hmm. how he's dressed, or Fight Club, or the Ocean's
You know, here's the thing about Brad Pitt, too. So, some people are going to give me shit for this. I don't care.
People give me shit because I picked Brad Pitt.
I like Brad Pitt.
I have nothing against. I don't care about his private life.
He's likable to me.
I like him.
I've never thought of Brad Pitt. I always say The Rock because people think that we look like twins.
Now,
we're like the Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito version of twins, me and The Rock. Guess which one's Danny DeVito?
Yeah. But if I could have from their younger day, take Sean Connery. That's a good Irishman.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Good Irishman.
Are you Irish?
Yeah.
Okay.
So last name's Miller, but I got Burns, Kelly, McAllister, and Campbell. Like, those are all Irish names. I have not done the whole DNA test. My sister did, and she's over 50-some-odd% Irish, and the rest is, like, German and whatnot.
I did the DNA test. I'm 1/10 of 1% Irish.
Nice.
Brother.
My brother from another mother.
See, I know why I liked you, man. Yeah, we share blood. Yeah. All right.
Yeah. I got two kilts in the closet.
Oh, there you go.
Ready to go, man.
All right. Okay, so let's do another question. So, if you could spend time with anyone, real or fictitious, dead or alive, who would you choose? And these are the examples that I give to help you think outside the box, right?
Well, I already got the ones that just are coming to my head.
So, real or fictitious, dead or alive? Fictitious, I think it'd be fun to go time travel with Marty McFly. Right?
Yeah.
Real, there's a lot of people there that are real that, I don't know, that I could throw out there. I know a lot of people don't like Jimmy Kimmel, but I think it'd be fun to hang out with Jimmy Kimmel. Or maybe Guillermo, his sidekick. That might be more fun. Dead or alive? Dead, I think it'd be epic to smoke a spliff with Bob Marley.
Okay.
Real or fictitious, dead or alive? Real or fictitious, dead or alive? So those are a couple answers right there.
So, do I pick one live, one dead?
You can pick as many as you like.
So, one dead, Elvis Presley.
Oh, that's a great answer.
Elvis Presley. I mean, come on. He was...
Which Elvis?
young Elvis, like from all the Elvis,
all of them,
from when he met Priscilla on to the day he croaked. Yeah, like any of that. I mean, preferably the younger, like
movie star
like,
Elvis,
like young, like naive. Honeymoon Palm Springs,
or old
Elvis.
Fat jaded Elvis.
No, I'm talking like from the Hollywood,
because old fat jaded
Palm Springs,
old fat jaded Elvis
to the international,
right. Right.
Vegas.
Old fat jaded Elvis would buy you a Cadillac.
So, okay, that's funny you say that, because the person that is alive that I would like to hang out with, and I'm going to bring them together, I wish I could get them together because they probably wouldn't, is Robert Plant and Jimmy Page, Led Zeppelin.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. They went and saw Elvis at a concert, local. And they ended up getting together at Elvis's like Hollywood house, whatever. And I mean, Elvis, I was reading a book, and it was a Led Zeppelin book. And they're like looking at the watch. He goes, "That's not a watch. Hold on, I'll be right back." He goes, "Here's a watch. Put this on." Like, Elvis is like giving him, one of his watches and stuff. You know, it's like one of those funny things. But so that's my dad. That's my life. Fake. Oh man. I'm gonna go with Han Solo.
Han Solo is a good one.
I'm going to go with Han Solo because like Star Wars just was coming to my head. I'm like, which one am I going to pick?
Right.
Am I going to pick Obi-Wan? Am I going to pick Luke? Or am I going to pick Han?
I kind of thought it would be fun to go adventuring with Indiana Jones. That's the same guy.
It is. It is.
I hadn't thought about that.
Yeah. It's, I mean.
Oh, dude, you got one of those. I love that.
Yeah.
I wanted one of these.
Yeah.
Oh, it's not a mug.
No, that's a actual release. It was like, ordered on Disney, blah blah blah. And
so I'm holding the, what would you call this?
The idol. Where he was sizing up that bag of sand. Yeah.
He switched the sandbag with the idol, and I always wanted one of those because I thought that was such a cool. It's such a cool movie. I don't want to say prop, but it's a significant thing from a movie.
Yeah, and it was during such a fun, not then it was fun, but the whole, good guy, bad guy, Germans versus the American
right.
It's just the funny, great movie with tons of adventure.
Right. Okay, three things that you could have on a deserted island.
Three things that I could have on a deserted island.
So these are my answers. I don't remember all three. One of them was internet.
This guy. Second, that's not being on a deserted island, right, brother.
Well, I could be on a deserted island as long as there's Wi-Fi, right? Second one would be a cell phone.
We are way off.
Right? And third thing would be a boat.
To get off the island. Man, you would not fit on Gilligan's Island. You'd be off that island the first day. Come pick me up.
Right.
The weather looks, I'm looking at the internet, the weather looks good. Yeah, we can go now.
Can I MapQuest or can I MapQuest?
Oh, that's
how old I am. Can I Waze from a boat?
Well,
you know what's
I got to go with the things that come to my head. That's what I like to do is go with the first things that come to my head.
Get on a train. And turn your GPS on and do like a Google map to wherever, to your mom's house or whatever, and get on a train and let it just redirects and redirects and redirects and redirects, right? Because you're not on a road, you're on a train track. All right. So what's your answer?
I gotta go with actually what came to my head. Fruit. So you got like your pineapples, mm-hmm. and mangoes, all that kind of fun stuff, because that can
you
grow.
Want a,
that goes on a tropical.
You
tree.
Want an island that's abundant with,
yeah,
fruit.
Okay, I'm just gonna go with just simple. Not that I'm number one is rum, but rum goes good with fruit, and then my family. I figure I can live off of the rum, the fruit, and then my family. I guess. I mean,
see,
I'm being kind of cautious there, but I mean,
see, you love your family.
I do love my family.
I love my family too. I never see. I should have. I should have said my family, but then I'd be subjecting them to being on a deserted island.
Well, the funny part was I was thinking about like boars or pigs, but then I'm like, okay, I guess on the island I got to figure out how to make some spears or something because I don't have I didn't say a gun.
Right.
Then if you have a gun, you got to have ammunition.
Right.
Like how technical do we want to get?
Well, if you have a spear and you have a reef, then you might be okay for your protein.
Yeah. Yeah. Right? I can straight up be Tom Hanks.
Straight up be Tom Hanks. All right. So we got one last question for you. What's on your bucket list?
Bucket list? Man, you got me on that one because there's a lot that I've...
There's a lot on mine.
And there's a lot that I've been able to do. I'd
love to have... I'd love to... like, one of the things in my bucket list is I'd love to ride a junk in China. And then, which may or may not... I may regret that. But I also would like to have a fugu in Tokyo or somewhere in Japan.
I was going to say, a lot of mine would be travels. You know, I need to make it down to, like either the Cook Islands, New Zealand area. Yeah. I haven't been to that part. The other part of me, you know, like, we're going back to Maui this October. And then, because our 10 years coming up, that's where we got married.
So congratulations,
dude. We're going to take the kids, show them that area. Haven't been to that island since then.
Okay.
So we'll go there. But once we do Maui, like, man, I'm kind of craving go to Ireland.
There you go.
So it's like more my bucket list nowadays.
Have you been there already? Have you been there before? Okay.
No. And in my head, what I want to do is like two nights in a castle.
Yeah.
And then the rest of the time, just like bed and breakfast style. And, you know, hit up Jameson,
Hell yeah, dude.
Hit up the Guinness plant.
Hell yeah.
You know, just all that. And also just go back east.
Yeah.
You know, there's so much in our own country that I'd love to go see.
Yeah, there's a lot I'd love to see. There's a lot that I'd love to see here in our own country. But, you know.
I mean, I guess, like, recently I've been watching the Masters of the Air, which then led me to watch Band of Brothers again. And I'm like, man, there's a B-17, like, over in, like, I think it's Chino or somewhere that goes up in the air every once in a while. I'd love to get in that.
Go is that for a the fly. Chino Air Museum?
Yeah, I think okay. so. I think so. I know there's a B-17 that every once in a while I'll see flying around here.
Yeah. I think that's the one at the Chino Air Museum because I think there's one over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'd love to fly in that.
Yeah.
But I've had a good life, so, like,
yeah.
I'm very humble where I'm at and enjoying where I'm at.
I love
it. You know, it's good stuff. So, you know, I got good friends, good cocktails, good family. Good
job. I love it. Living with gratitude.
Yeah.
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's an awesome way to wrap this one up. Mm-hmm. Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
Appreciate you so much.
Appreciate
Thanks for the awesome cocktails and the spread that you put out for us. The hospitality is insane here. I love coming here. And if you want anybody to check out your place, do you want to throw out your social media?
The Instagram is just The River Kai.
Okay.
Where did the name River Kai come from? So we live in Riverside.
Sure.
My firstborn was Kai. And that's how I came up with
it. There you go.
The River Kai.
Okay.
Plain and simple. I like it. It kind of sits out differently from the rest, but it's mine.
Okay.
So The River Kai.
Yeah, The River Kai. Okay, so at The River Kai, we'll put a link in the description below, so you guys can just click on that. And you can follow us at Polynesian Pop. Again, we have a Patreon. If you want to check that out, that helps support the show, patreon.com/Polynesian Pop. And if you want to follow our adventures, we have a YouTube, youtube.com/Polynesian Pop. And check that out. And we're going to have a video of some of this up there as well.
Nice.
So, and there's already some video up there of The River Kai.
Yeah, you got it during the holidays. So.
Yeah. So come by and check that out. But shout out to our friend Robert for opening up The River Kai for us, making us cocktails, serving us snacks and all that good stuff. Until the next time, we bid you a cheers and aloha.
Aloha.